Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org, and podcasts of prior shows are also available there under Public Affairs. Today is March 31st, 2021. The markets were mixed today, with the Dow slightly down, closing at 32,981, the NASDAQ up at 13,246, and the S&P up at 3,972. Our topic tonight is updates on the stimulus, filing dates and amendments. And if we have time, I'm going to complete my discussion from last week on retirement accounts. I got through IRAs and didn't quite finish up on the retirement account portion, but that's fine. We are in tax season and ready and willing to answer questions about taxes if you have them. We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Lori C is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. And you can speak live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can give your question to Lori, and she will write it down and bring it in to me. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. Okay, so as I mentioned, I didn't quite get to finish last week's discussion on retirement accounts where I covered IRAs and Roths, but I do want to go over some points on employer plans if I have time. So I'll do that at the end of the show. I first want to cover our topic for this evening, which is updates on the stimulus payments, filing dates, and amendments. The stimulus payments, whoo, they've really been something. Might feel like one little hurdle for you, but when CPA firms are trying to manage it for an entire tax practice, you realize the enormity of the issues that surround these stimulus payments. So I will kind of talk a little bit about that. I want to also start with some updates on extensions and amendments, because I think this is important. So from the IRS, they issued this notice. They extend additional tax law deadlines for individuals to May 17th. So we probably had mentioned that last week, but there's some related issues with that as well. Not the one we wanted, and I'll talk about that in a minute. So the Internal Revenue Service today announced that individuals have until May 17th. This was, you know, a notice from several days ago. Until May 17th to meet certain deadlines that would normally fall on April 15th, so such as making IRA contributions and filing certain claims for refund. So they already had extended the filing date to May 17th. Now they're kind of clarifying what else is extended. It follows a previous announcement from the IRS on March 17th that the federal income tax filing due date for individuals for the 2020 tax year was extended from April 15th to May 17th. Notice 2021-21 provides details on the additional tax deadlines, which have been postponed until May 17th. So it's time to make contributions to IRAs or individual retirement accounts, which we talked about last week. And if you missed that show, it's available on wdiy.org or Your Financial Choices, talking about IRAs and your ability to contribute to them and how that works. So they've extended the time to make contributions to IRAs and health savings accounts until May 17th as well. So in extending the deadline to file Form 1040 series returns to May 17th, the IRS is automatically postponing to the same date the time for individuals to make 2020 contributions to their individual retirement arrangements. That includes Roth IRAs, health savings accounts, Archer medical savings accounts, and Coverdell education savings accounts. This postponement also automatically postpones to May 17th the time for reporting and payment of the 10% additional tax on amounts includable in gross income from 2020 distributions from IRAs or workplace retirement accounts. Notice 2021 also postpones the due date for Form 5498 series returns related to these accounts to June 20th. What that means, in a nutshell, is, because that wasn't quite a nutshell, we already know they extended 1040s, that's individual returns, to May 17th. Unbeknownst to us, I didn't realize there were all these other underlying things that had to be extended separately. We might think that if they extended the filing date to May 17th for the 1040, it would encompass all the things that go along with it. But no, apparently they're separate rules. You know, we've been saying at work, you know, we should be working smarter, not harder. Well, I think the theme these days seems to be let's work harder, not smarter. Because who knew that the ability to make contributions to IRAs and Roth IRAs and health savings accounts would not coincide with the filing of the 1040? Meaning if you have till May 17th to file your 1040 and you don't know if you can contribute to an IRA until you know what your income is on your tax return, you wouldn't be able to do that contribution until you know what your return looks like. And it's not always individuals' fault either, by the way, because you might get your information into your tax preparer, and it's taking a lot longer to do returns this year. No doubt about it. For all the CPA firms out there, I'm on chat rooms with the, you know, people from the PICPA, the Pennsylvania Institute of Certified Public Accountants. We're all running into a lot of issues this year with software, with legislation changes, with these stimulus payments. So it might not even be your fault, but they have closed the gap on that, you know, disconnect that you will have till May 17th to fund your IRA and your Roth IRA. And I did explain last week why that is nice is because for people in 2020, when you're earning your money, you may not know if you're eligible to contribute to an IRA or a Roth IRA. It often depends on if you're working, if a spouse is working, if you have employer-provided retirement accounts, how much your income is, and whether or not you have the money to fund those. So sometimes you don't know until you see what your tax return looks like. So the IRS has always given us till April 15th to fund an IRA or a Roth IRA for the prior year. That has always been there. And I have a lot of clients that we have to wait until we do their tax return to see if they're eligible to do it. So they have extended that to May 17th for IRAs. Health savings accounts, I haven't talked about those in a while, but I have talked about those previously on shows. The health savings account is for those people who have high deductible health plans. High deductible health plans that meet certain qualifications, you can have a separate investment account for medical expenses. It's called a health savings account. Generally, if you're working, you do that through your employer. You could do it through payroll deduction. It is the best way to do it through payroll deduction if you have that option available, because it protects your contribution from federal, state, local, Medicare tax. It's just a great way to do it through employer payroll. There's limits on it, and the employer can put money in as well. Well, if you're short on that and you didn't fund it all the way, you still have a chance to fund it the rest of the way. You don't get quite the same tax benefits, but you get the break for federal and state. So that's a health savings account. Check it out if you have a single plan or a family plan to see if you fully funded it. Off the top of my head, I'm trying to remember the form number. I think it's 8889. So watch out for that. We have till May 17th to fund those as well. More updates on this latest notice and information that might be beneficial to people from prior years. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. We are talking about updates on the stimulus, filing dates, amendments, and also willing and able to take calls if you have questions about your taxes. Anything really, but income tax, financial questions, of course, not like, you know, what flowers to plant. I can't help you there. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. So we mentioned the filing date is May 17th. The ability to make contributions to individual retirement accounts and Roth IRAs is May 17th. And that's for the prior year. For the prior year. That's why they give us that extension. You can make your 2021 contributions now. You don't have to wait for that. You can do that anytime if you're eligible. As I mentioned, sometimes people aren't eligible and they don't know if they're eligible until we do their tax return. So that's why that's a big plus to get that extended. Health savings accounts, that's a huge tax savings, people. If you don't max your health savings account and you have extra cash and you're able to do it, you can fund, you know, the up to the single plan or the family plan, depending on what you have. You can do that up until May 17th for the prior year. But the best bet is always to do that through payroll deduction. Some people have health savings accounts that outside of an employer plan, if you're retired and you're pre-age 65, because once you're 65 and Medicare eligible, you can't have a health savings account or on Medicare Part A, which is typically what happens when you're 65. So you can have a plan outside of work, but if you can do it through payroll deduction, that's great. But this is another way to get that extra amount in. So some other updates on this notice 2020-21. 2017 unclaimed refunds. Deadline extended to May 17th. There are people who forget to file their tax return. Whether they're, you know, I've had people who are overcome by the loss of a spouse. I have people who are overwhelmed. They just don't like numbers. So there could be reasons why you haven't filed your return. And if you know you have a refund, it's not like you're going to have penalties, because penalties are assessed based on balances due. And if you know you have a refund, you get a refund, you know, you got refunds in 14 and 2015 and 2016 and 2017 was the same. You know, you're going to get a refund. You just couldn't deal with it. You could still file that return, because after a while you'll lose it. So for tax year 2017, federal income tax returns, the normal April 15th deadline to claim a refund has also been extended to May 17th, 2021. The law provides a three-year window of opportunity to claim a refund. That has always been. So if you, you know, came to me about your 2016 tax return, you had a refund, you already lost it. So the law provides a three-year window of opportunity to claim a refund. If taxpayers do not file a return within 3 years, the money becomes property of the U.S. Treasury. The law requires taxpayers to properly address, mail, and ensure the tax return is postmarked by the May 17, 2021 date. Additionally, foreign trusts and estates with federal income tax filing or payment obligations who also file Form 1040-NR for non-resident now have until May 17, 2021. They didn't extend the date for us to file trust returns. Trust returns file a Form 1041. Those are typically due May 15th. April 15th. Sorry about that. I've already extended in my head. April 15th. They did not extend those. So, you know, here again, firms are in a rush now individuals might have wanted their returns done. And the, you know, you gave your information a couple weeks ago. Well, what CPA firms are dealing with are the stimulus payments, the unemployment compensation, which I'll talk about in a minute, and deadlines that aren't extended, such as trust returns, 1041s, certain estates that might have a calendar year. Those are due April 15th. Estimated tax payments technically are still due April 15th. They have not extended that. So where there are clients who make estimated tax payments, we have to kind of know what we're projecting for 2021, and we usually base that on 2020, which means we kind of have to know what 2020 looks like in order to project 2021 estimates. So it becomes a prioritization issue. Estimated tax payments are still due April 15th as part of this notice. It does not alter the April 15, 2020 deadline for estimated tax payments. These payments are still due on April 15th. Taxes may be paid as taxpayers earn or receive income during the year, either through withholding or estimated tax payments. Taxes must be paid as taxpayers earn or receive income during the year, either through withholding or estimated tax payments. In general, estimated tax payments are made quarterly to the IRS by people whose income isn't subject to income tax withholding, including self-employment income, interest, dividends, alimony, or rental income. Most taxpayers automatically have their taxes withheld from their paychecks and submitted to the IRS by their employer. Updates regarding tax relief as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic can be found at irs.gov. So estimated tax payments are not extended to May. They're due April 15th. They could still update this. I looked last year. It looked like they updated that on April 9th. Last year, they updated on April 9th, extending the due dates of the estimate. So it could just be that they're waiting, because the longer they wait, more and more people will, you know, file their returns and pay in before they extend it. So that could be what's going on. But what this notice is also saying is you could do it through withholding. So, for example, I have clients who have required minimum distributions from their IRAs. If we're not ready to take, to do the 2020 return, and we're going to maybe miss the estimates, you can increase the withholdings on your pension, or increase the withholdings on Social Security, or increase the withholdings on your IRA, and pay the taxes through your withholdings instead of doing quarterly payments. So a lot of people do that, and you can do it if you have alternatives to having to do estimated tax payments. We had a call come in from Sue from Bethlehem. Sue, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. You're working with a therapist who has hearing aids. Can they be considered a business expense? They are necessary for her job.
She is a therapist.
Oh, you are a therapist. You are a therapist, and you're a therapist who has hearing aids. Can they be considered a business expense? They are necessary for her job. Sue, I have not heard that. I think that would run the realm of personal use. It's just like when people say they have to wear a suit to go to work. It's not considered an expense. It's personal. And if you personally need the hearing aids, I thought perhaps you were a speech pathologist or something like that, and maybe had to have hearing aids to demonstrate for your clients. That might be something different. That would definitely be used in the business. I have not heard of something like this. Another example might be where someone is goes on television and they pay extra to have their hair done or their makeup done or get those nice clothes. Those aren't going to be covered either. Those would not be a business expense. So I think it runs the gamut of being a personal expense. But that's a good question. All right, folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. Tonight we're talking a little bit about the updates to the extension, the filing dates, the amendments, and some questions about stimulus checks. It's all very, very interesting, and you may not think you qualify for it, and you might qualify for the stimulus payments. It might not be too late. So we're going to talk about that. And we're also going to talk to you about some of the updates on the unemployment compensation when we get back from this next break. 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. We are talking a little bit tonight about some of the extensions on the filing dates, the extension to file an amendment, and I'll talk a little bit more about amendment as we go through talking about the stimulus payments and what else? Questions. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We can take questions live on air or off air, whatever you're more comfortable with. I just want to go back to a second for Sue's call when she's a therapist, and not so much the hearing aid, but for people who are in business and self-employed, you do want to make sure you're paying attention to the kind of expenses that you can take and the kind of deductions you can take. So, for example, you could have a home office that you might be working out of. And if it's exclusive use or part of the office of the room is exclusive use, you may be able to take some home office deduction. Several years ago, they did modify the rules from the IRS where they said if you don't want to have to keep track of all of the expenses that you have, like utilities, real estate taxes, mortgage interest, and homeowners insurance, you could just take the square footage times $5. It's capped out, I believe, at I think it's a $500 deduction cap, perhaps. Five times 500. Anyway, so there is a cap on it, but there is a simplified method for a deduction that if you don't want to take home office, because if you do take a home office with actual expenses, you also take depreciation, and that could be a little bit more complicated. Maybe you don't want to deal with it. Just so you know, the simplified method isn't available for Pennsylvania purposes, but that's something to think about. Also, if you are self-employed, you may be eligible to have a self-employed retirement plan for yourself. We call it a solo 401k. Those you usually have to set up before year end, but maybe you're just now hearing about it. You said, gosh, I didn't know I could have a retirement account for myself. I'm self-employed. I thought I could just have an IRA and I could put in my $6,000 or my $7,000. Well, if you're self-employed, you actually could do a SEP IRA. And if you're the only person in the SEP IRA, there's some limits on how much you can put in, but it might be easy if you don't have employees. But a SEP IRA, you have until the due date of the return, including extensions, to set up a SEP IRA for 2020. So while ordinarily I might like the flexibility and the contribution limits for a 401k for a self-employed person, but if you didn't get it set up in time, it's not too late. You could always do a SEP IRA for 2020. As long as you set it up by the extension due date of the 2020 tax return. And then you could, close that and start the 401k for 2021. So just, be mindful of some of those expenses. Sue, I hope that helped a little bit. Okay, so let's talking about the stimulus payments, the filing extension, basically, and amendments. I wanted to add, let's see, one last thing. So the estimated tax payments, I already said, those are not extended technically. What I wanted to mention is a lot of the states have followed suit with the 2020 tax filing season being extended to May 17th. Most states have, but a lot of them are not extending the estimates either. So just like the Fed isn't extending the time to file for estimated tax payments, the states aren't either. So the logic is they want their money, they want to get it somehow. A lot of the municipalities really hurt last year when it got extended to July 15th. So I think what they're trying to do is say, let's not push it that far. But they were only pushing it till May 17th. I thought, you know, everyone could kind of come to terms with that. And again, they still might. It might not be too late. They might still extend that to May 17th. But right now they're saying, no, they're not going to. The local returns, Pennsylvania filers, we have local returns, and not all of the locals have extended. Not all of the locals have extended to May 17th. It's apparently different rules. I think it has to come from maybe the governor. I'm not really sure. But what we have heard rumors of is that if that doesn't get extended, they're not going to charge penalties and interest if you file by May 17th. Consistent with the Fed and the state. All right, so keep that in mind. Let's talk about, before we talk in about the first and second stimulus, and I want to go back to the unemployment compensation issue. I'm not sure if I had mentioned this last week or weeks prior. The American Rescue Plan came out and also said that part of people's unemployment is not going to be taxable if you're below certain income thresholds. And that income threshold is $150,000. And I think that $150,000 is whether you're single or $150,000 if you're married filing joint. Normally, they'll have different amounts for the different filing statuses. This is, I believe, a flat $150,000. So if your income is under $150,000, $10,200 of that income is not going to be taxable. And they don't include that when they figure out the 150. So let's pretend you made with the unemployment 160, but you back out the 10.2 and now you're under 150, you will qualify for it not to be taxable. Does that make sense? They're not including it in figuring out if you're at the 150 or less. So the 10-2 is not taxable. Many people may have already filed their return, reporting all of it as taxable. And the IRS has indicated, and we expect, that they will figure out a way to make those people whole without having to file an amended return. So don't go run out and file an amended return yet. We think the IRS is going to figure out how to make you whole on the $10,200. For people who already had put their information with their tax preparer, we've been holding those returns, waiting for the software updates. Now, the software we use was updated over the weekend, and we have now been able to recalculate those returns. It's nice and clean. Boom, $10,200 comes right off the unemployment compensation line. And then we push the tax return through. So that's what we're dealing with. Most software companies should have it updated by now so that the $10,200 will come off of your taxable unemployment compensation if you meet that $150,000 limitation. If you already filed, we're hoping that the IRS will come back and fix it. Something else that they put in there, which I don't have all the details on, this kind of just came to me. For people who have their health insurance through the marketplace, or I think even penny.com, I'm not sure because Pennsylvania has their own site now, they're not making you pay back the premium tax credit if you got one. So if you had that health insurance and you weren't paying the full premium because your income was below certain thresholds and you got an advanced premium tax credit so that you weren't paying the full freight on that health insurance, if your income goes above that when you file your return, you have to pay back maybe some of that premium tax credit. You have to pay it back on your tax return. It increases the amount you owe back. Well, the American Rescue Plan said, you know what, we're not going to make people pay that back. Some people already filed their returns. Some people already paid it back. We're not sure if the IRS is going to fix that and correct it. We may have to do amended returns for that. So I'm not sure about that, but that's something to pay attention to. So you don't have to pay back that tax credit. Folks, we are at the halfway point. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, and you can talk live on air or off air, whatever you're more comfortable. Just give your question to Lori, 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us for Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert. Currently, we have 62 degrees and overcast skies. Lehigh Valley weather. Tonight, showers likely with a low of 39. Rain likely tomorrow, Thursday, then partly sunny with a high of 46. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low of 27. Now back to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert.
Thank you, James. Welcome back, folks. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, give your question to Lori. She'll write it down and bring it in to me. Let me mention some things about the third round of economic income payments before I talk about the first and second ones, which you can possibly still get on your 2020 tax return. So the third round of economic income payments, which we call the stimulus payments or the EIP, there's so many different names. The IRS is issuing third payments in phases, and you can find when and how your payment is sent with the Get My Payment application. Get My Payment updates once a day, usually overnight. Do not call the IRS. Their phone assisters don't have information beyond what's available on irs.gov. People have told me they've called the IRS for other reasons and they never answer, so it wouldn't be a good idea anyway. Previous payment information is no longer available in Get My Payment. So some people are telling us they did not get their second payment and still did not get their second payment. Well, they're probably not going to get the second payment. We're going to talk about how you can get that on your tax return in a minute. So the third payment is what is getting tracked on the Get My Payment app on the IRS's website, irs.gov. There's a link as soon as you go there. It says Get My Payment, and you can try to find out about the third payment. And again, they are issuing those in phases. So everyone got it. When was that? I don't know when. Recently. And then some people said, well, I didn't get it. I didn't find my return yet. And I didn't qualify for it based on my 19 income. And I qualify for it based on my 20 income. Am I going to get it? Well, they're going to issue them in phases. And we were told up to 90 days after the filing date of the returns. So as they process your tax return, if you now qualify for it where you didn't before, they will continue to issue those. In fact, they say, when we'll send your third payment. The third round of economic income payments are being sent in phases. The IRS started sending the first batch of payments with an official payment due date of March 17th. If you haven't received one yet, it doesn't mean you won't. The IRS is working with federal agencies, which means Social Security, to get updated information for recipients to ensure we're sending automatic payments to as many people as possible. More information will be, made available through news releases. And we'll send the third payments each week to eligible individuals as we continue to process tax returns. Payments are sent by direct deposit or mail as a check or debit card. Watch out for those debit cards. A lot of people were throwing those away last year, so be careful because you're not exactly sure which you'll get. People told me even when they had direct deposit information, they weren't always coming as a direct deposit. So surprise, surprise. Just, be grateful that you're getting something. Just be aware how it come in different forms. So you will see different status messages on the Get My Payment app on the IRS.gov website. The payment statuses will be your payment has been processed and will be sent on the date shown by direct deposit or mail. If your payment's by mail, you'll receive an EIP card or the debit card or check. The amount of your third economic income payment is not shown. Or it will show for payment status you're eligible, but a payment has not been processed and a payment date isn't available yet. Another status might be payment status not available. We haven't yet determined your eligibility or you're not eligible for a payment or need more information. Your return was processed. We don't have account information available for you and your payment has not been issued yet. Or the Postal Service was unable to deliver your economic income payment and returned it to the IRS. So that's nice that at least it has some of those, you know, statuses. I had someone just tell me last night that they had a direct deposit bank information on their return from last year. They went ahead and filed their return this year. They didn't update the direct deposit information, didn't realize, oh, shoot, that account was closed. The IRS accepted their return on February 13th, but they've received no money, and it's March 31st. And usually when you have direct deposit, it goes very quickly. Bummer. If the account is closed, the IRS tries to deposit the money in the account. The account's closed, bounces back. They can't send it there, right? So what are they going to do? They're going to process a check. Checks take longer. Okay, folks, again, if you have questions, phone number 610-758-8810. Let me talk now about the first and second payment status. The first and second economic income payments no longer appear in Get My Payment, as I mentioned. For information on the payments, you can look at mail that you might have received from the IRS, notices 1444 and 1444-B. Not a lot of our clients either got those notices or they didn't save those notices. Those notices told you, you know, what you received in the first and second payment status. If you didn't get the first and second payments, you can claim the 2020 recovery rebate credit. Why they make all these different names for the same thing makes me crazy. Work harder, not smarter. So the economic income payment or stimulus payments, I think they even had another name at one point. Now on your 2020 tax returns, we're calling it the recovery rebate credit. So if you didn't get the full amount of the first or second payment you were eligible for, you may be eligible to claim the 2020 recovery rebate credit, and you must file a 2020 tax return even if you aren't required to file. James and I were just talking about this earlier on the break. People who might not be required to file should file if they did not get the prior stimulus payments, because this is your third bite of the apple. You have a chance to get this recovery rebate. It was $1,200 for the first one, $600 for the second one. And if you file the 2020 tax return, chances are you'll and are eligible. You may be also eligible for the third one, which is $1,400. So we're talking about some big money here. We're trying to stimulate the economy, get people to, you know, help pay their bills, get out there and spend some money. So the first two rounds of economic income payments were considered advance payments of the 2020 recovery rebate credit. Most eligible people already received the payments and they won't include this information on their 2020 tax return. So if you know you already got the full stimulus payment and, you know, it was $1,200 and $600 each, if you were married, you each got $1,200 and $600 as long as your income was within the limitations. If you were part of the phase out and you might not have received the full thing, but your income is lower, that's something you would still want to do then on the 2020 return. There's a worksheet. It's called the recovery rebate worksheet, and you put in the amounts and it helps you calculate what balance you might have available. So if your income has dropped and you now would be eligible for more, that's how you're going to get it. You do the recovery rebate worksheet. It's not a special form, and I don't believe you even have to include the worksheet. You just include the credit on page 2 of the tax return. And, you know, we're getting a lot of extra credits for people. Because when we knew this was happening, we kind of managed the, you know, the tax planning for 2020 a little bit. So people who ordinarily might not have qualified when they eliminated the required minimum distribution that you had to take in 2020, for people that could afford to not take it, their income dropped quite a bit, and now they became eligible for the stimulus payment. Another way to become eligible for the stimulus payment, if you're like right on the cusp, and even could help you for the third payment, if you are eligible to do an individual retirement account. Now, not everybody can do that if you're working, but I have some, you know, retirees who maybe have some part-time jobs, so they earn a little bit of money. You have to have earned income to fund IRAs. They're not participants in an employer plan because they've retired. Well, we had them do deductible IRAs, and that brought their income down, which then gives them a little bit more stimulus payment and opens up the door for the third stimulus. And that doesn't always work in every case because they lowered the income thresholds and phase outs for the third phase. They lowered the income even more than they did for the first two. So it's not always going to work for everybody, but it could. So if you're eligible to make a deductible IRA, that could help you. All right. So the first and second payments, you have a chance to get those on your 2020 tax return. If you don't have income, you're not required to file, you didn't get the payments, you want to file to get that credit because it's a refundable credit. Quite often there are credits that the IRS gives us, like certain education credits and maybe foreign tax credits, certain credits that are not refundable, child tax credits, but this is a refundable credit. Some people think it's just going to offset their taxes, so they think, well, I don't have any income, I don't normally owe taxes, there's no reason for me to file. Well, we can't stress it enough. This is a reason to file. It could be some really big money for you and help you. Filing a 2020 tax return, you can file electronically. The tax software will help you figure your recovery rebate credit. And there is a program, IRS Free File, that can help you file your federal tax return. There's also free voluntary income tax assistance or tax counseling for the elderly. All this information is on the IRS's website, irs.gov, but the IRS has had free file programs for a long, long time. So if you have a simple return and your income's below a certain threshold, you can go on the IRS's website and file your tax return through that, and the software really will help you calculate that credit. But you do have to know how much of a stimulus you got or not. So if you know you didn't get any, then it's fairly easy. If you got some, but you don't remember the amount, well, if you have a prior year return, we can kind of back into it and calculate it. But, you know, you do need that information. There were lots of questions on the IRS's website, which I copied and pasted a bunch of them because I thought these are such great questions and who knew? And here's a big one. Deceased spouse, 2019. How do I complete the recovery rebate credit worksheet if I received the joint payment with my spouse who died before January 1, 2020? If they died before and you received both, that included an amount for your deceased spouse, you have to return the deceased portion of the payment as described in, you know, a link they have here. But listen to this for the 2020. If your spouse passed in 2020, how do I complete the recovery rebate worksheet if your spouse died? If you're filing your 2020 return with your deceased spouse as married filing joint, you should enter $2,400 on the worksheet and $1,200 for the second one, because you would have both been entitled to $1,200 for the first and $600 for the second. So that's $2,400 plus $1,200. And go through the worksheet. But what we've learned is if you had a spouse who was alive at any time in 2020 and you didn't get the stimulus payment or didn't get the full stimulus payment, you can fill out this form to see if you qualify for the balance of it for that spouse. That is big. We weren't sure of that. We thought if your spouse passed after they did the prior to the stimulus payment, it would be like the prior year. You'd have to return it. You don't for the 2020 spouses. Okay, for 2019, those had to be returned if your spouse died in 2019 and they, you know, sent it out to you. For 2020, if your spouse passed anytime during the year, it doesn't even have to be a spouse. If your mother passed or your father passed or an aunt passed and you're doing their estate, if someone lived at any time during the year, they're entitled to the stimulus payments. If they already got the first one, but maybe they didn't get the second one, you can file their 1040 for the second one. If they already got the first one, you go through the worksheet. I think that's really important to know. And if you're an executor for an estate, it's important for you to know because you have a fiduciary responsibility to kind of be aware of these things. Lots of questions. I don't know if I'll even be able to go through all of those, but when we come back, we'll see what we can tackle. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. We are just talking about stimulus payments, economic income payments, recovery rebate credits, all the same thing. Phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. This is why it gets confusing when we've had a deceased spouse. Sorry, I talk so practically about it, but I do have to talk practically about it. If we have a deceased spouse in 2020, the reason it could get confusing about what someone might be eligible for, and remember, I said you're eligible for both payments, but they sent out the first one in the beginning of April 2020. The second one went out in late December of 2020. So if the service was notified that someone died after April, then they probably didn't send out the second payment. You see how that works? But the IRS did come out and clarify later that the person would be entitled to both payments if they even lived a day in 2020. So don't miss that. I'm going to try to kind of limit what I'm going through here. I think we have a question. Lori just walked in. We have Jay on line one in Bethlehem. Hi, Jay. Can you hear me?
Hi.
Yeah,
can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How can we help you?
Ma'am, last year we had to pay estimated taxes, and it was quite a bit. Let me turn the radio off. It's bothering me.
Mm-hmm.
And paid the estimated taxes. What happened was COVID, and my wife made quite a bit of money the year before, and when the COVID happened, she just stopped flat out.
Mm-hmm.
And we were paying these quarterlies, and close to $5,000 that we paid in last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting it back, but what I want to know is quarterlies are due again April 15th.
Right.
This money isn't going to happen. It was based on the 2019 returns for 2020.
Right.
That we were paying in. Now, do I have to contact the IRS? Can I just stop paying quarterlies? And, you know, what am I going to do? Because this per diem money is not going to be coming in. Well, both of us are retired now. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I can bump up our social withholding, and I can bump mm-hmm. up pension withholding and cover mm-hmm. the whole thing mm-hmm. gracefully from my end. But do I have to do anything with the IRS?
No, and that's a good question, because a lot of people don't realize the estimated tax payments is really like it's a pay-as-you-go system. The IRS wants you to pay as you go, either through withholdings or through estimated tax payments. But they don't care if you make them or you don't make them. So they don't know how much you are going to pay. I have clients who change the amounts on me all the time. If I tell them to pay $1,000 a quarter, they might pay $500. They might pay $800. They can vary. So just because you paid estimated tax payments for 2020 does not mean that you're going to have to pay them for 2021. You just have to figure out how much you think you're going to owe and make sure that you're going to cover it either through the withholding or estimates. Either way. Now, Jay, one of the things you could do is if you have an overpayment on your 2020 return, you can apply some of that to your 2021 tax liability. You know.
Yeah, I've already filed them
okay.
a long time ago.
Okay.
But it was the return was so big I was embarrassed, and I thought, my God, we're going to get audited or something.
It was all
correct. It was mm-hmm. just I just never stopped paying the quarterly.
Right, exactly.
I'd rather be very right than very wrong.
exactly. But I do like doing the payments through withholdings, because I even have clients who take required minimum distributions now, and we do it all in December. We'll do the tax projection for the year, and you know, their required minimum distributions are enough to cover the tax for the year instead of doing quarterly. So that's another way to do it, through your pension, through Social Security, or through required minimum distributions on IRAs. Okay.
Right, but I don't have to contact the IRS
nope.
about this.
Nope.
Okay, all right.
Good job.
Bothered me a little bit. All right.
Yep, good
all
job.
Right,
thank you for the question. Bye-bye. Yeah. We have Dave in Bethlehem online, too. Hi, Dave. Can you hear me? Hi, Dave. Are you there with us still? We might have lost Dave. Dave, just give us a call back if we lost you. All right. I think we lost Dave. Dave, just give us a call back at 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. I think we have him back. Okay. Dave, can you hear me? Nope, there we go.
Question.
There we go. Okay. Hi, Dave. How can I help you?
A two-part question. I'll make it quick. I didn't think that I was going to be eligible for the first stimulus check because the day I filed my return was the day that they announced that if you had filed for 2019 and you made over a certain amount, you weren't going to be eligible. I made above that amount, so I thought, oh, if I had just not filed, I would have been able to get the stimulus.
All right.
And so I didn't expect to get anything, and I did get the first $1,200. I don't know if it's because they were backed up and they weren't processing the returns timely, and so they didn't catch that. And I wasn't trying to be deceptive. I just, you know, so I got the check. I've never received any check after that, and I don't know if it's because they then looked at the earnings from 2019 and said he wasn't eligible, so therefore mm-hmm. we're not going to pay it out. Therefore, I don't know. You've been really helpful talking about some of the credits. I don't know if I should apply for the credits since I did get the first one. And then the second part is I did get pandemic unemployment assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was I received the PUA and then found out that it was an overpayment. And they were requiring the whole amount to be paid back, you know. It was not pleasant, but hey, I then got a 1099 from Pennsylvania for an amount that was far exceeded the amount that I actually got. And so now I don't know whether or not I've got to, there's an $18,000 1099 that the state filed. If I have to pay the money back and then the money that they say I received, I didn't get. I've contacted the state. It's impossible to get a hold of anybody. I just don't know what to do, and I can't file my return because of the discrepancy. So I'm sorry. Those are two questions.
The first
one was about pandemic.
Yeah, so Dave, these are great questions. So the first one, you're absolutely right that you might have qualified based on 2018. You might not have qualified based on 2019, so you thought you weren't going to get it. They take a while to process the returns. They're still processing 2019 returns. It's been a debacle. So you probably did actually qualify for the first one based on 2018. But just because your income was higher in 2019, they're not making anyone reconcile that. You don't have to pay that back. But now we're in 2020. So now when you go to file your 2020 return, even though you didn't qualify based on 2019, we're really now eligible to claim the credit in 2020. So when they issued the second stimulus, you're right. At that time, they probably had your 2019 return entered. You didn't qualify for the second one based on 2019. But now if in 2020 your income has dropped again, you do that recovery rebate worksheet and you take the credit on page 2 of the tax return. So great. You do the recovery rebate worksheet, you'll probably qualify, so you'll get the $600. So you say $1,200 was the first one, you got $1,200, you're not getting any more on that. The second one is $600, you didn't get anything, you're going to get $600 there. So you take care of that on your 2020 return. The unemployment is a problem. I have been hearing this from other people, and I hadn't explored it enough, but now as you're describing it to me, I can see where there could be a problem. If they paid you, let's say, $18,000 in 2020, and they notify you that they overpaid you, and let's say you had to pay back $3,000, and you don't pay it back until 2021, is that what happened? You didn't pay it back until 2021, maybe?
Well, I haven't paid it back because I've appealed the overpayment.
Okay. Okay. So you did receive the money then, so the 1099-G could actually be accurate because you haven't paid it back.
Of the 18,000, I only received 11.
Oh, okay. You did only receive 11. You didn't have to pay it back. You only received...
Well, yes. They're saying that I think I have to pay it all back.
All back? Even the 11?
The 11. Yes.
Wow. Well...
But the 1099 is for 18.
Yeah, the 1099-G shows 18,000 though.
Right.
So, yeah, I can see where this is a bit of a pickle. If it's, yeah, I think what I would probably do, if you might want to extend your tax return and see if you can get this reconciled, because it could complicate things. On the one hand, I might make an adjustment for $18,000 less what I think I, you know, or only report what I got. We're a cash basis taxpayer. So if we're a cash basis taxpayer, we report what we actually received. If you didn't receive $18,000, I would not file a return showing I got $18,000. But if I got 11, I might say 18,000 less 7 is 11, put the 11 on, you get the 10,200 as an exclusion if you're under 150,000, and maybe you're only reporting 800 bucks of this. But then I would put a big note with the return, and you can do that even electronically. You can attach usually a federal note and say, hey, IRS, I only got this much, and you know, James had just pointed out, do you have pay stubs or proof that you only got the 11,000? Is there a schedule like on the PUA website? If you go on the...
Yes, there is.
Yeah, so you could even attach that as an attachment to the return. And sometimes you can attach PDFs electronically. So that would be something I would either do, or I would extend until you get some kind of correction from... Pennsylvania. But we are cash basis, and I have done this before that I, you know, when I've had people who tell me, hey, they sent me a tax document, but they didn't pay me till January 16th of the next year, then I'll say, hey, we're not going to report it then, but I document everything so I have a trail.
I see.
Okay.
Thank you so much. That's really helpful, and the information you give the public is so valuable.
Oh, thank you.
For taking the time to do it.
Thank you so much, Dave. Have a good night. I appreciate that.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Folks, the time has gone so fast. And next week, I have a guest, so I'm not going to be able to follow up with the items that I had remaining. I just think some of these questions that are on the IRS's website or regarding these stimulus payments are just fascinating to me. And I got all excited copying them all down so that I could put them in here. For example, one of them was, I filed my 2020 return electronically but made a mistake calculating my 2020 recovery rebate credit. Will my return get rejected? It says, no, the IRS will not reject your tax return if you made an error in calculating your 2020 recovery rebate. They generally will fix the mistake. All right. So, but they'll fix it if you claim too much, but they're not going to help you claim more than they're not going to do the recovery rebate if you miss it. You might have to later amend your return to get the recovery rebate if you didn't file for it. All right. But if you ask for too much, that they'll fix. Folks, the show went so fast. I love the questions. Thank you so much, listeners, for calling in with the questions. It is my favorite part. For regular listeners, you know that it's my favorite part. So next week, I'm going to have Bill Henderson on the show to talk about understanding ESG funds, responsible investing, and first quarter insights. That's environmental, social, and governance types funds. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. I want to thank Lori for being here. Thank you, James, for being here. Thank you, listeners, so much. You're the best. And the listeners of WDIY, even the people who don't call in with questions, I love you. It's a very sophisticated listening audience. But again, coming up next with Tom Druckenmiller in the Tradition Folk Music, remember, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week and happy holidays.